All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're taking a look at a Washington Supreme Court case. It's Clean v. State.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, it's all about that classic tension, right, between legislative power and the public's right to have a say.
Yeah, this one's a real classic. 1996 really gets at the heart of, you know, how our government balances power and accountability.
Exactly. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, the central issue here is, can the Washington State Legislature, you know, bypass a public vote when it comes to spending public money, right, on a big, big project.
Big, big project, exactly. And this one's got it all. You know, you've got your beloved home team, the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, they're threatening to leave the state, right, if
yes.
they don't get a new stadium.
A brand new stadium, yep. So the legislature steps in and passes what they call the Stadium Act.
Stadium Act. All right, so this act, it's designed to do what? To fund a baseball stadium, right?
Yep, a publicly owned baseball stadium in King County.
King County, okay. So yeah. So public funds for what's essentially a private for-profit entity,
okay.
right?
Okay.
That's the crux of it. And the funding mechanism here is also pretty fascinating.
Okay.
They're talking about taxes, specifically taxes on sales and use in King County.
Sales and use taxes. And remind us again why that's a particularly sticky point here.
Well, under existing law at the time, you know, those kinds of taxes usually required voter approval.
Voter approval, so the public gets to weigh in.
Gets to weigh in. And here's the kicker. Just months before all this went down, King County voters had actually rejected a pretty similar proposal.
They had already said no. So the legislature is kind of going around the will of the people, right? It sounds like at this point.
That's how it was perceived by many, certainly by those challenging the act. It definitely added fuel to the fire, so to speak.
Okay, so the legislature knows this. They know the public has already rejected this. What do they do?
The governor calls a special session, right, to get the Stadium Act through.
A special session, all right. And in this act, they include a pretty controversial clause.
Emergency clause.
An emergency clause. Now, for our listeners out there, especially those still in law school, break down for us what an emergency clause does.
So essentially, if a law is deemed necessary, you know, immediately necessary for public peace, health, safety, that kind of thing, an emergency clause lets it take effect immediately.
So it bypasses the normal process.
It skips the whole referendum process. You know, no need for the public to vote on it. Immediate action.
Okay. So not surprisingly, this move sparks a legal battle.
Oh, yeah. Big time. A group called Clean Citizens for Leaders with Ethics and Accountability. Now, they step up and challenge the constitutionality of the whole thing.
They say, hold on, you can't just use public money like this, and you definitely can't just sidestep the voters.
Precisely. They argued that using public funds this way wasn't a legitimate public purpose, and of course, they took issue with that emergency clause, calling it an attempt to, well, to basically silence the public.
It's a pretty bold move, right?
Right.
I mean, we're talking about fundamental questions here about legislative power. I mean, how far can they go? What exactly constitutes a true emergency?
Yeah, it's all about those limits, those boundaries. When is it actually okay to bypass that direct democracy, you know, the public's vote? Big questions.
So this whole legal fight, it boils down to a few key constitutional issues. The first one, Article 8, Section 7 of the Washington Constitution. Now, what does that article deal with?
Basically, it's about preventing the state from using public money for private gain without a darn good reason. You can't just give away public funds or loan them to private companies unless it serves a fundamental governmental purpose. That's the language they use.
Fundamental governmental purpose.
Right. So the question becomes, does building a stadium for a private for-profit Major League Baseball team fit that definition?
And on top of that, even if it did somehow meet that definition, is the public getting something in return?
Adequate consideration. That's the legal term.
Okay, consideration. So basically, what benefits are flowing back to the public in exchange for this use of public funds? Rent payments, obligations from the team, that sort of thing, to make sure it's not just a giveaway, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so that's issue number one. The second big issue, that emergency clause. I mean, did the Mariners threatening to leave, did that really qualify as a threat to public peace, health, or safety? I mean, come on.
It does seem like a stretch, right? But the standard of review the court uses is actually pretty deferential to the legislature.
Okay, so the court gives the legislature some leeway here. How much leeway are we talking about?
Basically, they look at whether the legislature's declaration was obviously false or a palpable attempt at dissimulation.
A palpable attempt at what?
Dissimulation, basically a blatant lie or deception.
Okay, a blatant lie. So they're not really second-guessing the policy decision itself, right? They're just looking for outright falsehoods.
That's the idea. It's all tied to the concept of the state's police power, you know, its authority to act for the well-being of its citizens. But, you know, even with that deference, it still raises questions about the limits of that power, right?
Yeah, it does. And the third challenge, the argument that this was special legislation. Can you just give us a quick definition of what that means?
Sure. Special legislation is basically when a law unfairly singles out a particular person, group, or area without a good reason.
Okay, so the argument here was that this Stadium Act was specifically targeting King County, right? Unfairly.
Exactly. And if it had been deemed special legislation, well, that would have essentially killed the whole act right then and there.
It would have been invalid.
Yeah.
All right, so the Washington Supreme Court, they have to weigh all these arguments. What does Justice Alexander, who wrote the majority opinion, what does he decide about that first issue, the public purpose?
Well, the majority actually sided with the legislature on that one. They said, building a Major League Baseball stadium, it does serve a fundamental governmental purpose.
Really? How did they justify that?
They argued that it benefits the state's economy, you know, job creation, tourism, that kind of thing.
Okay. Economic benefits, I can see that.
Right. Plus, they considered it entertainment. And entertainment, they said, improves the quality of life for residents.
Entertainment is a public purpose.
Interesting. So they really stretched that definition of public purpose, didn't they?
They did. They went pretty broad with it. And,
yeah.
And you know, don't forget, the stadium itself would be publicly owned, so that factored into their decision as well.
Okay, so they ruled in favor of the legislature on the first point. What about the emergency clause? Did they really believe losing the Mariners was a clear and present danger to, you know, public well-being?
This is where it gets interesting. They said yes. Or at least they weren't willing to say the legislature's declaration was obviously false.
So they gave them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, a lot of deference there. They acknowledged that the Mariners leaving could be a clear and present danger, not necessarily to physical safety, but to the region's economic and cultural landscape. Okay, so they're acknowledging the economic impact. But that still seems like a pretty low bar for an emergency, right?
I mean,
almost anything could be framed as an economic threat if you spin it the right way.
Right. And that's a major takeaway for law students. The bar for overturning a legislative declaration of emergency, it's really high. You basically have to prove they were blatantly lying. And that's not easy.
Okay, so that separation of powers principle, it's really on display here. The court is reluctant to interfere with the legislature's decisions. What about the special legislation argument? Did that hold any water?
Nope. The court rejected that one, too. They said the economic and social benefits of keeping the Mariners, those had statewide implications. So focusing the project in King County, it was justified.
Interesting. So on all three counts, the majority sides with the legislature. But of course, we can't forget the dissenting opinions, right?
Of course not. They offer crucial alternative perspectives. Justice Talmadge, for example, he agreed with the outcome, but he wrote a concurring opinion.
So he agreed with the majority, but he still had something to add.
He wanted to emphasize that even though courts should generally defer to the legislature, they still have a duty to scrutinize those emergency declarations. You know, make sure they're not just being used to bypass the referendum process without a real emergency.
To make sure it's not just a power grab.
Right. He pointed out that the obviously false test requires more than just disagreement with the legislature's policy choices. And interestingly, he noted that even some legislators who opposed the Stadium Act itself, they acknowledged that there might be an emergency situation.
So there's room for nuance, even within agreement. That's an important point.
Yeah.
What about Justice Guy? He had a partial concurrence, partial dissent, right?
Yep. Justice Guy agreed that the act served a public purpose and was largely constitutional. But he disagreed strongly with the use of the emergency clause. He basically said, building a baseball stadium, a public safety emergency. Seriously.
I can't imagine being in that courtroom when he said that.
Man.
What else did Justice Guy argue?
He was really concerned about the people's right to a referendum being sidestepped, especially since the voters had already rejected a similar tax. He felt the factual basis for an emergency just wasn't strong enough.
Okay. And what about Justice Sanders? He wrote a full-blown dissent, right?
Yep. And it was a fiery one. He argued that the emergency clause was totally misapplied, said it stripped the people of their constitutional right to a referendum, and he believed the legislature's declaration, it lacked any real factual support, just a pretext to avoid public input and, well, basically undermine democracy. He called it, famously, taxation without representation.
Wow, that's a powerful statement. So for our listeners who are law students, I mean, what are the key takeaways from Clean v. State?
Well, first, it really shows the principle of separation of powers in action. You see the judiciary being hesitant to overrule the legislature. They give them a lot of leeway, especially on fact-finding and policy decisions.
Okay, so it's hard to overturn a legislative declaration of emergency. Got it. What else?
It's also a great illustration of the public purpose doctrine and how broadly it can be interpreted. This case, you know, it expanded the definition of public purpose to include things like economic development and entertainment. And remember, the fact that the stadium would be publicly owned was a key factor there.
Right. So public ownership can really tip the scales.
Yeah.
And finally, what's the third big lesson here?
It really highlights that tension between direct democracy and the legislature's power to act quickly using emergency clauses. This case shows you how those clauses can be used for big financial decisions. And, you know, it raises questions about how much scrutiny courts should apply to them, especially, you know, when you have a situation where voters have already rejected a similar proposal. It gets at the heart of what emergency really means.
You know, that point about the prior voter rejection, I think it's really important. Justice Sanders, in his dissent, he really focused on that. It really highlights that sometimes, you know, the full story, the context behind a case can be just as important as the legal arguments themselves. It's a good reminder for you law students out there to dig deep, read everything you can get your hands on, and understand the nuances of a case.
Absolutely. You know, just focusing on the black letter law, that's not always enough. You have to understand the procedural history, the political context, all of it.
Right. So Clean v. State. It's a crash course in how economic development, constitutional limits on spending, emergency powers, and the right to a referendum, all of those things intersect.
Yeah, a real web of issues. And it leaves us with a question to ponder, you know. Given that King County voters had already said no to a similar stadium tax, did the court strike the right balance here between representative democracy and the will of the people?
That's the big question.
And thinking about the implications of broadly defining emergency, you know, especially in these economic development situations, is that something we should be concerned about? It's a debate that's still going on today.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.
Always a pleasure.
And for all you listeners out there, keep those legal minds sharp.